Thank you, Belle. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I bring you Charlotte. I was assigned to Alamon twice, and twice I went to her. Both times I was assigned to Alamon.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Charlotte.
Welcome to Responsibility Territory. My name is Charlotte Jay. I am a recovered and recovering Al-Anon dependent on the day. And I'm 69 years old, and I came into this program when I was 25. Do the math. I was married to an alcoholic and my first husband. And we had known each other about 2 weeks when we got married, which is long enough. And he drank so much on our honeymoon that I was shocked. And I come from a family of alcoholics. I should not have been shocked, but I believe that both my parents were alcoholic. I'll tell a couple stories about what it was like to grow up in an alcoholic family. Because I believe the disease of alcoholism is what I have. Even though for some reason I didn't get the addiction to alcohol, I got the addiction to you. Wanting you to do it differently so that I could feel better about my family. And when I was young, it was pretty perfect. There was parties and little black velvet dresses and handsome men. My mom was single and I'm an only child. Handsome men coming and going from the house. Lots of fun. Everybody thought I was cute. Got to wear a bow in my hair. Then things started happening. Like, you know, they started staying overnight and puking on my bathroom carpet. And the disease progresses. The disease progresses. And with that disease of alcoholism, I progressed into insanity, total insanity, of trying to control situations that were uncontrollable, worrying always about what other people thought of me, total fear most of the time. And I know that the alcoholic has that too. It may manifest differently, but fear and self-centeredness ran my life. Because really, if I'm worried about what you think about me, who's the most important thing in the room? Me, right? So, time went on. My mom became dysfunctional. She was drinking every night. She was really good at getting boyfriends. She was precious. I love my mom. She was an amazing, funny, beautiful woman. And she drank every night. But she was, our relationship, she wasn't abusive in any way. She didn't forget to do things for me. But she's real difficult to be around. She fell down. She puked. She buttoned her blouse up wrong. It was just really, for a kid, troubling. So time went on, and I made the decision to move to California in 1975. And I'd been on vacation. A friend of mine was a nurse. Been on vacation, met my ex-husband. We were together constantly for like 2 or 3 days. Then I went home, subletted my apartment, quit my fabulous job in Toronto, came back and married him. And the backstory of this was his wife had been dead 8 months from cancer. He'd been drunk every day since, and he had 2 little kids, 6 and 4. And I came to save the day. And that's what Al-Anons do. They come to save the day very ill-equipped. And I was pretty ill-equipped. So what I know to be true, I could tell you all kinds of horror stories about what it was like, but that's enough, right? It's good enough. So I came into these rooms pissed that I had, blaming him. And my first sponsor said, you know, I was bitching about every guy I'd ever been with. And she said, well, you chose him. I said, I never chose those men. That's impossible. Well, like, is that a weird response? I was choosing them. They resonated with what I was familiar with, was that craziness and alcoholism. So it took me about 3 years of coming and going from meetings and this little room of women in San Diego who did their best to put up with me, bitch, to admit that I was powerless over alcohol. And that my life had become unmanageable. And that, as a paraphrase, there's nothing that I could do about it. I could not flip a switch and make it manageable again. I was way too far down that road. Way too far down. And always trying to control things. A cleaner house. A cuter haircut. Blah, blah, blah. You know, all of those things that are so surface and so impossible to make a difference in anything. So then I got to step two, where I did believe in God, sort of. I didn't think that he was letting me have my own way very often, but I did believe in him. And I came to believe that a power greater than myself, that some of us call God and some of us don't, and that's just fine. That's what's the glory of this program, is we don't come in here to find religion. We come in here to find a personal relationship with our higher power. And that is given to us, if we choose it. So then I had to find something that was greater than me, which was pretty tough at the time, that would restore me to sanity. So then I had to say, well, then that means I must be insane. So the unmanageability and the insanity I worked really hard to understand what that meant. I had a sponsor who had me look up words and books and write down the definition and come back and read it to her. Still, I wasn't getting it. I just thought there must be something I could do, some doctor I could go for, some diet I could go on. So then I had this incredible enlightenment that, oh my God, it's the gap between the unmanageability and the sanity that God has to come into. That little space between unmanageable and sane. And what does sane mean? Sane means, and I have many friends that do this, live with alcoholics and are happy, spiritual women. Is it easy? Now, I'm grateful for the fact that that young man in the front row has put up with me for 30 years. Now, people think that I'm putting up with him. I'm one crazy shit when I want to be. But I love him, and he loves me, and we have worked this program together to the best of our ability. And you know what? After 30 years, we are happy. I can say that honestly across my heart. I'm going to heaven. We are joyful and happy. Thank you. So I'm filling in this gap between unmanageable insanity, and how the hell am I going to do that? Well, hello, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's steps that will help you do that. And so, making the decision to turn my will and life over, it was okay turning my life over. Make my will. I'm very willful. I want things my own way. I just clench my fist. And so. That, I think there's a really good reason why God led Bill to put will before life. And then understanding that God would care for me. And I've learned in this program and other places, and talking to my friends and being in relationship with people, that in this program, that God loves me. God loves each and every one of you as much as God loves me. Precious to God. Precious, precious, precious. However, that doesn't mean I'm going to get my own way. That doesn't mean people aren't going to die. It doesn't mean that there's a whole organization of homeless people just 5 miles from here, many who don't have legs and teeth. And we don't even think about that. I mean, I know some of us have been there, are pretty darn close. But it is not, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love me. And that was really hard for me to figure out. And so whenever things didn't go well, like, the best part is the guy that I married, my first husband, screwed my friend the nurse while we were married. Yes! He's here for alcoholism. And, you know, yes, that was very, really painful, but I stayed. I was going to meetings. I stayed in the States. I'm from Canada. I didn't go back home. I had enough hope in me that I could get well separate and apart from what those people in my lives did or didn't do. And I don't know. I mean, I just really feel the grace of God in the fact that I stayed geographically put. Went to meetings, worked with my sponsors, sponsored people pretty well, you know, I mean, moving along. And then, so that searching and fearless moral inventory, in the beginning, I thought that everybody else was the problem and that I couldn't be, you know, I couldn't be the problem. And when the first thing really was realizing that I did choose to be with people who would damage me, absolutely. Total choice, cognizant or not. And so what was I going to do about that? So I did have another husband in the middle. I won't talk to you about him. He was my hairdresser. We don't need to go down that road, but you can only imagine. But you know, I didn't have roots for 2 years. Anyway, he's a delightful young man who lives outside of Austin, and that's how I got to Texas. We moved here because he thought being with his family would fix everything. But it didn't fix things for me anyway. So, but that you know, we all make mistakes. I think many of us have multiple spouses, and I decided that I would be single I was by then here involved with Club 12, Al-Anon meetings, and some other meetings in town. These are my people. You are my people. I may not see you every day, but I have no reservation to share anything I need to share about my life and what's going on with anybody in this room, and can trust you. Because I know that you have the foundation of these steps and the best you can in relationship with your higher power. And that's what we're given. I mean, I think most of us come into these rooms, we can't trust anybody. Everything's unpredictable. We can't trust ourselves. So I did learn to trust. And then admitting to God, myself, and another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs, I needed a lot of help with that. I had like a 2,700 item list of character defects. We had to narrow it down to, can you imagine? Fear, right? Self-centeredness, yeah? Lack of humility. Seriously. And an inability to accept that God could help me. So the thing that I worked on, just like in AA, self-centeredness. It's not about me. And the more that I understand that, and that then I'm in present in my world, and then my language changes. Not everybody may agree with this, although I do think there's science behind it, and if you ever want to talk to me about it, you can. But my thinking was so negative. It was always about everything's horrible, with a smile on my face, right? And so to change my language over the years, I had to live in really 6 and 7, pretty much. And you know, there's like, what, 2 paragraphs in the big book? And 87 years to get it? You know, it's like a really weird portion, but anyway. I didn't know how to humbly ask. I didn't know really if it was a character defect. I just head tripped it too much. But what I know is that if I focus on self-centeredness and fear, and occasionally resentment, I'm going to be okay. And so there's one little thing that I wrote down. It wasn't from this book. This is Passive Recovery, Al-Anon Steps, Traditions, and Concepts. We do have our own literature in Al-Anon. Many of us also study the big book. And, you know, I have mixed feelings about it. It's not conference-approved literature, which is shocking, really, when you first hear it. because there's actually chapters written to us in the big book. I understand the people who made that decision, that we needed our own literature, that, you know, we were stumbling with changing the words. I understand that AA headquarters doesn't want us using AA literature and changing it to whatever, you know, addict, overeater, overspender, all those meanings that are out there. But the big book is precious. It's full of, every word is from God. And every word talks to me about how I can recover. So, but I do use Al-Anon. Just as alcoholism is progressive, so is recovery from it. So as bad as things got living in my family, one family was alcoholic, the family where I was the wife and the family where I was the child, if I come into these rooms and I make a commitment to these steps and I make a commitment to you, recovery is progressive as well. And we all know that it just takes one slip. You know, it just takes one slip. And for me, and I slip sometimes with this. This isn't really, but like, I can't tell Bob how to dress. Try to sometimes. I slip. But you know what I'm talking about, you know. My favorite sponsor was here in Texas, and she was from outside of Houston. I can't remember exactly where. And she it was right after we got married. And I saw her all the time, and I said, okay, so I can't stand the way Bob eats his cereal. It's like a spiritual experience. He's like, one with the cereal, and I'm just going crazy. What did I do? And she's like, well, I know what to do about that. You just leave the room. That was an easy one. But that, I mean, it's all of that stuff where I get so engaged in what you're doing or not doing that I have no conscious awareness of where I even am. So I don't have to leave the room as much now in our marriage, which is really good. And Bob doesn't eat cereal anymore, so all is and was I entirely ready? There's some character defects. No. I can really say that my fears are 90% of what they were when I walked in these rooms. I am not afraid of being in a tenement somewhere eating cat food sandwiches and drinking $2 bottle of wine when I, quote unquote, retire. I'm not afraid of that anymore because I know that, I mean, it could happen, but I know that I figure out a way to live with it. I'm afraid of myself, mostly, the things that I still do subconsciously, but what the hell was that? Where did that come from? But I continue to work 6 and 7, and this is not conference-approved literature, so I apologize to anyone, but I'm going to read it anyway. 1 minute. I think I got it. Well, while this is coming up, I'll go back. I did make amends to many people that I had hurt. I have had people tell me that I didn't need to. I've had people tell me thank you. I've had people that had no idea what I was talking about because, you know, I was thinking about myself all the time, and they didn't even know I was in the room offending them. So, but you know, it's a really interesting experience because that, I think, is the beginning of when fear is lifted. I can approach you about the money I took from you or whatever, and you forgive me, or at least don't freak out and call the cops or whatever, then, you know, I'm not as afraid. Each time, I'm not as afraid. I'm not afraid of people. And you know, Mel shared about being pissed about people who controlled him. I'm terrified of someone who tries to control me in my natural state. School principals, people with money, people older than me, a doctor, any of that stuff. When I came in, totally terrified. Could barely even speak. So, I am not that girl anymore, I can tell you that. I do speak up. So I was making a direct amends, and there are some people in these rooms that aren't very fond of me, and I don't know what I did, and maybe one day it'll be sorted out. But we don't have to make amends to people just because we have a resentment or someone has a resentment toward us. It's if I've damaged them. And that was really, really important for me to learn, is that a lot of my behavior where I thought I was ineffectual, I was damaging people by not paying attention to what their needs were, by getting angry at them. And I'm a person who leaves. So when we first got married, we had to make an agreement that if we were going to fight, and we fought. We fought about like the three main things y'all know there. That we would go to a restaurant and have our discussion there. Because if we do it at home, I would leave, either physically or emotionally, and Bob would rail and scream, and it was just no way to get to. Both behaviors were horrible, and we were just incapable of having a conversation about what was troubling us. Now, pretty much, not that much pisses us off, but we can talk about. Thank you, God. So I continue to take personal inventory. There's great instructions in the big book about how to do that. Just follow them. Very straightforward. Morning, noon, and night, what to do. seeking through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of God's will, that's tough. You know, that's tough. I want people to live. I want more money. I want the transaction to work out. I want. So I learn more and more to just pray for knowledge of what God's will for us. And I do have more of an intuitive thought process than I used to. And the power to carry that out. I mean, there's a lot of things I know I should do, and sometimes I don't do them because the power isn't in me to do it. So, language. So in 6 and 7, I began to see that the way that I was talking to myself created havoc. And I really believe that negative thinking, and at the area of the brain it affects is the dendrites, if you want to know, but it affects us physiologically. Just like alcohol changes the chemistry of an alcoholic's body, my thinking and the hormones and enzymes that are released in my body make me crazier and shit. So I'm negatively thinking, I can't function, and I'm crazy as shit. Pleasant way to live, you know? So I got to begin with bringing God into my thoughts. And I can't do it. It has to be. And over time, that has been given to me a lot. I mean, sometimes Bob says, "You are so kind." He's like, "Which one?" But you know, that's a gift of God. And that's not ego saying that. I mean, I've learned how to be kind, to keep my mouth shut. I don't care what I'm thinking, but I'm not saying any of those things anymore. And as I don't say them, I don't think them as much. But anyway, that's the thing about Al-Anons, is we have to change our thinking through God's grace. And God enters into our minds and our hearts and our souls. We make different choices. We continue to work the program and love as much as we can. So, use prayer to ask for depth and clarity. Use prayer to ask to become a better channel for a higher power. Use prayer to ask for ease and grace and surrender. Use prayer to ask how to pray. Use prayer to ask how to think and act. Use prayer to say thank you. Use prayer, period. Prayer can be considered cheating because of how much easier it makes the process go. So I've had a spiritual awakening. I don't know. That's up to God to determine that. But I certainly have a different life. And I live in sanity most of the time. It's a very pleasant place to be. And I know what unmanageability feels like. I can feel it in my skin. I can feel it in my body. And it creeps in a lot. And so there's almost a 30-second period of time where it's like God come in, like between unmanageability and sanity. Only thing is God right in the middle of it. The only thing that will change it and divert me so that I can live in 3 through 12. That's all I have. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you all.